Yeah. Welcome to the Blue Gold Sports Podcast. I'm Ryan Roddy, joined by Tanner Mounds and Corey Moore. And I'm excited to say that college football is officially back at the time of this recording. Georgia Tech and Florida State are playing in Ireland, and College Game Day is there. And Pat McAfee actually just picked West Virginia to win the Big 12. Gentlemen, thoughts?
I mean, I love the pick. He's repping his the old golden blue. It's great for West Virginia to have someone like that, an alumni like that, in the spotlight like that, that can, promote the program and things like that, because that's what West Virginia needs. West Virginia needs to get back in the spotlight. It's been years since that team has been in the national spotlight and things like that. So to have a guy like Pat McAfee hyping them up, trying to get them to live up to their potential, that's huge for the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Not all publications and major networks are really on West Virginia's side, but to have a voice on ESPN on arguably the biggest stage of College Game Day, then that's huge. And so we're going to be propelled all through this season. Momentum will only grow as Pat McAfee keeps talking about us.
And so with that, West Virginia takes on Penn State a week from today, Saturday, August 31st. And McAfee show will be here Friday, August 30th, around the Life Science Center. Another big thing for West Virginia, and all I gotta say is traffic is gonna be bad here in Morgantown.
Yeah, it's already bad on game days, and now you bring Pat McAfee show into it. Now you have Big Noon Kickoff that has announced that they're going to be here forever. There's not a hotel within, I think, like an hour radius of Morgantown that is not filled up ready for this game. Like, this place is going to be jammed packed. The roads are already bad when it comes to, traffic and things like that. So now you put Pat McAfee smack dab in the middle of campus before Big Noon Kickoff as a top 10 team comes in to open up the season. Like, that's gonna be a wild time. That's gonna be a wild time.
Prices for this game were already huge, and now people are going to make a whole weekend out of it. So thanks, Pat McAfee, for filling up Morgantown for the entire weekend here, adding on with the Penn State hype already.
On top of great brand exposure, it's expected to be a great game. Many outlets, many sports media personnel, they're looking at this game and they're circling it for week one. So Penn State rolls in here. Last year, West Virginia went up to State College and things didn't go exactly their way, but it was great to have West Virginia on that stage. Penn State, week one, night game, but now they're kicking off at noon. And gentlemen, what's your general thoughts about this matchup?
I mean, it's a great battle. I mean, this is the ultimate test. Like, if you want to win a conference championship, you want to solidify your spot as a potential playoff team, you got to go beat a playoff team, and that is in Penn State. It feels similar to last year. A lot of it's both teams, West Virginia and Penn State, brought a majority of their key pieces back. Drew Aller for Penn State, Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, all of those guys. They added Julian Fleming in the transfer portal. West Virginia obviously keeping basically their entire offense intact as well. But now you add Jaheim White, who didn't play in that week one because he was his first ever game as a true freshman. I think it's going to be a great battle. I mean, the key for West Virginia is going to be to not let Drew Aller do what he did last year. He threw 21 of 29, 325, three touchdowns. They should have picked them off two or three times. I think, Beanie Bishop might have dropped two interceptions. I think there's another one as well. But you can't let him beat you because you know that rushing attack for Penn State is going to be so potent. And you've seen Drew Aller struggle against other teams last season. So you got to kind of channel some of that. You got to make Drew Aller struggle like other teams have because that rushing attack is so dangerous. And if you add Drew Aller onto that, that could be spell trouble.
Yeah, I think defensively, West Virginia kind of developed a little bit more of a mentality and an identity of what they want throughout all of last season after that week one matchup. Obviously, they lost a guy like Beanie Bishop, but for them to kind of change the secondary and everything that they're doing defensively for this season, I think they have a very clear idea of what they want their mindset to be. And like you said, they can stop it from a situation of Drew Aller beating West Virginia by themselves. I think the other thing I want to add here is that for a week one matchup, I think this is a perfect time to play a team like Penn State because sure, if West Virginia loses to Penn State, it won't drive in the force that they want. But as we saw last year, it won't kill them for the entire rest of the season because there isn't really an expectation for West Virginia, who was unranked, to go out and beat number 8 Penn State in week one of the season here. So it's not going to kill them. They're still capable of going 9-4 for the season, like they did last year, even if that week one matchup goes poorly. But if it goes well, if it goes in West Virginia's favor, then that's going to drive all the momentum they need, bring more excitement to Morgantown than is already coming in by just having the matchup in general. So I think it's a perfect time for it.
I mean, I think that's a great point there. Like with the expanded playoffs now, you don't need to win your out of conference games. They can only help you. They can't hurt you because all you have to do is win your conference. Like losing to Penn State is not the end of the world anymore, but beating Penn State adds to that resume incredibly for West
Yeah, there's
Virginia. But
no
I mean,
risk
yeah.
here, really.
Right. Yeah. I
It's
mean, you get
all
a packed
rewarded.
stadium. Like you said, you can have a chance to add momentum going forward into your season and taking all that on. But you lose, everyone kind of expects you to lose, and then you can maybe head in 2-1 in the conference play, and that's where you've got to make a run then and win your conference to get into the playoffs. You don't really need out of conference tough games or wins anymore if you can win your conference.
Yeah, and you're also going to get more education from winning or losing to a team like Penn State than you're going to for beating random schools. And also, week two, we're playing Albany. They're a pretty solid team. All in all, they're a pretty solid team. So playing those solid teams, strong programs early on, it's only going to help, like you said, because there's no risk for it, and it's only going to give you more education, more gameplay to know what's going on once you do progress to a postseason kind of situation.
And looking at West Virginia for their matchup with Penn State, I think one of the keys to the game is going to be quarterback Garrett Green and his passing ability. I've seen Penn State people talking all over social media on Twitter and whatnot, and they're saying they need to make Garrett Green beat them with his arm. We know about his legs. He can run, that's for sure. But his ability as a passer, kind of a question mark here going into 2024.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really blame Penn State fans or really any other fans that are kind of on the side of you do have to make Garrett Green beat you with his arm. That is the weak part of his game. Not to say that it is weak. Like, I think a lot of West Virginia fans want to see improvement in that aspect, and especially in the layups, as Neil Brown likes to call them, the short throws, the kind of intermediate throws. The deep ball has been fine, but yeah, everybody knows about Garrett Green's legs and his athleticism. Like, that's no surprise. You know he's going to have the chance every game to rush for well over 100 yards. You do have to make him use his arm. That's the question that West Virginia fans are waiting on, is did that improve in the offseason? Because that is what's going to take West Virginia to that next level. If he can, expose team with his arm, if he can throw for 300, 400 yards in a game, if that's what defenses are giving him, that's what it's going to have to take, because teams know about his athleticism. They now know about Jaheim White. He's no longer a secret. CJ Donaldson's power has been out there for now 2 seasons. Like the offensive line, everyone knows about that. It's Garrett Green's arm is the question mark. And if you are Penn State, that is what you have to force them to do. Can he throw the ball? We're going to have to find out, because I think Penn State's going to force that issue.
Yeah, and for us being based in Morgantown, it sounds easy to say, hey, Garrett Green nailed it at the Peyton Manning Passing Academy this summer and everything like that. He's been working on it. His arm is something that has improved, because all that we hear is West Virginia talking about how his arm has improved. So it's easy to say, but on paper, I mean, he absolutely does not have the pedigree of a guy like Rocco Becht elsewhere in the Big 12 or anything like that. So yeah, they're going to be shooting for making him play the passing game a lot more. And if West Virginia news is to be believed, then it's only going to benefit West Virginia, because Garrett Green is going to have a little bit more strength. And if he can get out to a quick start, then Penn State may have to adjust. And then that lets in a little bit more of a running threat, l lets in a little bit more offensive versatility as that goes in. So if Garrett Green can at least get a few really strong passes, a little bit of a good passing game early on, then the game becomes a lot more evenly matched, because they don't have something that they have to target for the entire rest of the game. It becomes a little bit more evenly matched. West Virginia has more options.
Yeah, in the words of Pat McAfee, I think everyone's fear is letting Garrett Green run wild. And that's kind of what it is. He's a guy that oozes confidence. And when you let him get going on the field and, improve on that confidence and really get going and let his ego start strutting and he starts feeling himself, like, that creates problems for teams. We saw it all last year when he would get going and things like that. That Cincinnati game is a great example of that. That's kind of everyone's fear, is that, that's That's why Garrett Green's kind of my X factor for this team this year. They're going to go as far as he takes them. They have the pieces around him on offense. The defense has been improved from last season. Can he get going? Can he be that guy? They're going to need someone to do it. It was hit or miss some games last year. They're going to need some more consistency. But one thing that never faults with him is that confidence and that strut. And when he gets going, when Garrett Green starts running wild, things happen here in Morgantown.
And he has his own confidence, and the team has just as much confidence in him. Like, hearing Neil Brown talk about Garrett Green is so promising. If I was Garrett Green, I would be up. I would be overwhelmed by the amount of support that I'm getting within the organization and within the team. So I think everything is in his cards for it to turn out well. We'll just have to see how it happens.
Yeah, and going off of that, quarterback coach Tyler Allen, he talked a lot about wanting Garrett Green to play free because that's what makes him a special player. He doesn't want him to play totally conservative. He doesn't want him to be avoiding a big hit going out of bounds. He wants him to play free because that's what makes him a special player. His legs, his ability to improvise, throw on the run, all of that. And Tanner, you talked a little bit about Garrett Green's deep ball last season. It was good. It was a good deep ball. He had a couple long connections downfield, but I want to see Garrett Green throw a little bit more over the middle, you know, get those medium gains and just keep pushing the sticks.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big factor. And I think someone that Western Virginia needs to utilize more to help Garrett Green out is Cole Taylor. I mean, he's got one of the biggest frames in all of college football, one of the biggest catch radius, 6'7", 255 pounds. Last season against Penn State, two catches for 31 yards. He had a couple big games, the BYU game. He had a big catch and run for a touchdown there. I don't think West Virginia utilized him enough, especially going across the middle. He's a big target. He's a guy that you can throw it up high over the linebacker. You can throw it out into, you know, a hole in the zone, and he can reach his arms out and grab it. That's the kind of guy, that's that safety blanket that I think Garrett Green has to develop a little bit more of a relationship with to get over the middle. We have the deep guys, you know, that we've seen. You know, you have Hudson Clement, obviously, that came out of nowhere from last year. Preston Fox is only going to get better. Traylon Ray, another one. Like, they have guys. And they have the deep threats. They got to get someone over the middle, you know. And I think Cole Taylor can be that guy. That catch radius, that body, that frame could be huge for West Virginia if they can utilize it.
Exactly like you said, they have the threats, they have the options. It's just a matter of Garrett Green is comfortable getting to all of them. And I think he was talking at a Big 12 media days earlier this summer about how he has been working on the mid passing, specifically mid-range passing, a little bit more. So if he can utilize Taylor more, and if he can just feel comfortable getting around spreading the field to all of those different targets that he has, then it's only going to be a positive thing for West Virginia, because they have a deep enough offense to make everything work.
Yeah, I mean, this was brought up. I know, Ryan, you were there with me at the most recent press conference with the football team. Tight end coach Blaine Stewart was at the stand, and one of the guys asked him if he knew the school record for receiving touchdowns in a season by a tight end, and it was only 6. Said, I forget who it was. It was a name I wasn't quite familiar with way back when.
Yeah.
6 touchdowns by a tight end in a season is the school record. Like, that is something that West Virginia just clearly hasn't used over its time. But you have a guy like Cole Taylor that, you know, the coaches were praising him, saying, you know, he's a guy that can play at the next level if he wants to, if he puts it together. West Virginia's got to use that. If you have a guy that has the potential to play in the NFL, you got to use him a little bit more than they did last year. He showed some flashes. They said his blocking's been getting better. I think Cole Taylor could be a big piece for the offense.
Yeah, and Cole Taylor, he's going to be in his second year with West Virginia. He was an LSU transfer, and he got hurt towards the end part of last season. But this offseason, while he was recovering, well, you never like an injury, kind of helped him a bit, because he got to go in the classroom with Blaine Stewart and really just fine-tune his game. But something else
I will say, fun fact about Cole Taylor, I don't know if you're just about to say it. Do you guys remember that LSU-Florida game where the Florida player threw the shoe and they got a fourth down stop, and then they picked up the cleat and yeah, threw the cleat, and it gave him a first down? That cleat belonged to Cole Taylor.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
That was Cole Taylor's cleat that got chucked across the field that gave LSU a first down and was able to go win the game and knock Florida out in the playoff. Just a little, I mean, when he came here, I saw that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to pull that clip up now after we're done recording. But what I was going to say is that something that's going to be huge for West Virginia as well on the offensive side of the ball is that offensive line. Now, last year, great offensive line. Their rushing attack, we know how good it was. But Zach Frazier, drafted. Doug Nester, undrafted free agent, he's gone. So now you got still the same foundation. You got Wyatt Milam at left tackle, the blind side. But now you got guys like Nick Malone trying to step up, Jaquay Hubbard. And there's a little bit of a position battle, I think, at right tackle. Xavier Bosley, a transfer they added, might get his way into there. But your thoughts on the offensive line makeup?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are some pieces that are going to need to be filled, but I think last season, the offensive line was banged up. It seemed like every game, one of them was getting hurt. Someone was, having to come out for a couple series. Someone was missing a game. It was multiple guys, and everybody played different positions on the offensive line. You saw the team have to go 8, 9 deep in the offensive line and not miss a beat. And I think that's huge for West Virginia in this year. You mentioned Hubbard, like that was one that he had to come in last season and play a little bit because of injuries in front of him, and he didn't miss a beat. The offensive line was just as great. So now, while you're kind of starting new guys on the offensive line, it doesn't really feel like they're that new because they played last year. They had to fill in for a game or two. They had a couple games where they had a series, or they're playing tackle, then they get moved to guard and then center as well. There because Frazier got hurt towards the end of the year, like. Those things happen, and West Virginia did not miss a beat. It showed the depth of the offensive line that has me not worried for West Virginia about that position group because of how deep it was last year. I think they're going to be just fine. I think they're still going to be one of the best in the country. You mentioned Wyatt Milam, first round, second round pick, just like Zach Frazier is going to be again one of the best offensive linemen in the country, protecting Garrett Green's blind side. He didn't really get sacked last year. And I mean, that credits a lot to Garrett Green's athleticism. But also the offensive line. Like, you can keep Derrick Green upright and let him have time in the pocket, let him get outside, do the things that he needs to do. This team's going to be good. That offensive line is phenomenal, and I expect them to be once again this year.
Yeah, I think offensive line is key in any team for consistency offensively. And whenever you have a guy like Garrett Green, I mean, players on the offensive line have talked about how they really help each other. They have a strong relationship, knowing that Garrett Green can kind of bail them out if need be. But overall, West Virginia's identity for the past few seasons has been having a consistent offensive line, being able to protect Garrett Green or whatever quarterback they have. So I don't see that changing, especially since, like, going all the way back to the spring, you see players like Nick Malone talking about how they think their offensive line is only going to be better. And sure, Brandon Yates is a new center as opposed to Zach Frazier last season, but he's a redshirt senior. He's been around the team for a long time, and that's something that exists all across this offensive line, is they have veteran players who have been around the team for a long period of time. Whether or not they have been in the spotlight doesn't really matter, because they know exactly what the team has been going for and exactly what the identity needs to be. So they have strong leaders in Yates and Milam, and they have overall strong experience and an identity of what they need to strive for because they saw it happen last season. So I think the offensive line is something that they can trust, if anything, on this team.
Yeah, and one more thing about Brandon Yates. Yeah, he's stepping in for Zach Frazier, some pretty big shoes to fill, but he's looking to take that leadership role, and he's played every single position on the offensive line, so he's a versatile center. We'll see how he does in 2024. Last thing on offense, we talked a little bit about Jaheim White and CJ Donaldson, but the wide receivers, I think it's a much more proven group than a year ago. Yeah, you had a guy like Devin Carter, NC State transfer, but you didn't know Hudson Clement was going to be who he is. And now you got wide receiver transfer Jaden Bray, who people are very excited about, talking about his strength as a receiver, his ability to high point the ball. I think Preston Fox is going to take a big step up in 2024. What are your gentlemen's thoughts on the wide receiver core?
In terms of pure, like, age, the wide receivers are kind of conflicting of what you see in the offensive line. It's a little bit of a younger team, a little bit more excitement, a little bit more youth in general. And I think the play style can kind of mirror that in a lot of ways. We were talking earlier about how the long ball is kind of what Garrett Green goes for. It's because that's kind of the style of play for just these big runners like Hudson Clement and Preston Fox, and I don't really think that's going to change much with Bray. The only thing that happens is we have more options around the entirety of the field here. So I think you let these guys run loose, run wild a little bit more. And like you said, sure, they're still young, but they are proven now, as opposed to what they had last season, where you kind of were throwing a shot in the dark with a lot of these players. Now they're a little bit more proven. We know what we're getting, and they know exactly what they need to work on. So these receivers are strong options.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows that the main two guys are going to be Hudson Kmet, Treylon Ray, and you got Preston Fox in the slot as well. I mean, those are the three that you kind of know what you're getting from. But I think there's somebody that he's not forgotten, but isn't getting enough credit, or people aren't talking about him enough, and that's Ronnie Gallagher. He might just be the most athletic guy on the team. And Neil Brown last year really tried to get him going in some sweeps and get him the ball as a freshman. He's gained some size. I mean, he still is a little bit short. He's still listed at 5'10", 178. He's a little smaller, but it's an improvement from last season. They switched his number so that he could potentially play defense as well if they need to. Like, he's going to be another key piece for this team. It might just be on both sides of the ball, but I know we're talking offense right now. If they can get him going and get a fourth guy, a fourth weapon on the outside, that really opens things up. That's where you're really then going to see, you want to talk about Cole Taylor. That'll really open up the middle of the field. If you can get him in sweeps, get him doing all sorts of different things with Ray and Clement on the outsides and Fox in the slot, like that'll open everything up. If they can really, really tap into that potential that Rodney Gallagher has with that athleticism, that speed, I think that could be huge for West Virginia. Just on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, he might be playing defense as well. I mean, that's a whole nother beast on that side. But I think offensively, that would be really big for West Virginia.
Yeah, bouncing off of that, moving to the defensive side of the ball, Neil Brown said that Rodney Gallagher is his best man-to-man corner, which I find very interesting. I'm very intrigued to see how this plays out with him being a two-way player. You got another two-way player in the conference now in Travis Hunter. Let's see if Rodney Gallagher can step to that level. But looking at West Virginia's defense, a group that received a lot of transfers this offseason. You look at Northwestern teammates Jaheim Joseph and Garnett Hollis. You look at linebacker Reed Carico, defensive tackle TJ Jackson. This is a new group, and West Virginia's defense might have been their Achilles heel last year. They lost a big game in Houston, which I don't know if fans want to hear about anymore, but I'm excited to see how they're going to play here in 2024.
Yeah, I think a big addition to the defense, specifically on the corner side and the coverage side, Aiden Garnes from Duquesne. And he's projected to be the starting cornerback, one of the starting cornerbacks. He played here in Morgantown last year as a Duquesne Duke. Didn't let Hudson Clement catch the ball. He was one of the only guys on the team that didn't let Clement explode in that game. I think he's really good. He's one of the most sought after corners in the transfer portal. He brings some size. He brings some athleticism. They're going to need someone to replace Beanie Bishop in that one-on-one potential short field, which is what Beanie Bishop was last season. I think that could be his role. I think he could be someone that goes to the short field. It's going to get a lot of passes thrown to him because of that. And if he can just stay with guys, I mean, I think that's what West Virginia needs. I mean, they struggled. Fans want to complain, that they've had up chunk plays in the air, and they let quarterbacks throw for a lot of yards. And they have a reason to say all that because it's true. And I think by getting a guy with Aiden Garnes, boosting that secondary was really, really seemed like a focus by Neil Brown and the defensive staff over the offseason. I think, where I said earlier in the podcast that the defense got some reinforcements. The defense got a little bit better. That's where I think they got better, and that's where they needed to get better.
Yeah, I think personnel-wise, you have a lot of talent coming in just from straight transfers. And you were talking about having a little bit of a guy to replace Beanie Bishop. I mean, obviously, Garnes is an option. But if you look at a guy like Garnett Hollis Jr., who specifically said that like Beanie's style of play and what they did with him last season was part of the reason that he wanted to come to West Virginia, I think that speaks volumes, because that means that the players on the team saw that, at least for Beanie and for the team as a whole, that what they did last season worked. So they know how to, they know what they want to emulate, and they have a coaching staff and a team that wants to emulate it and knows how to. So I think that's going to be huge defensively overall. I like a little bit of a change in terms of the defensive secondary. You talk about the cornerbacks and the safeties as well. They have a little bit of a change of a more unified approach under Shadon Brown. He's not just a cornerbacks or safeties coach. He's a full secondary coach, and you have that being led by Aubrey Burks, who is now going to be a spear as opposed to being at safety. He's going to let Anthony Wilson run free a little bit more at safety, and that's going to be overall positive if you have all like five really key players on the team all running under the same unified mindset. Because again, two of those guys are at least two of those guys in my mind are going to be those big transfers. I think it's probably going to be Garnes, maybe Hollis Jr., maybe a Crandall or something like that. And then you have more proven safeties like maybe a Josiah Jackson coming in brand new, but more proven like Anthony Wilson as well. And so if you have a unified approach across all of that talent, those are five key guys that are going to make an impact defensively, all under the same idea. Whereas on the other sides of like defensively, on the other sides of it, you have guys like Sean Martin who are experienced, who are going to be veterans. So I think overall, it's just a huge benefit of having multiple approaches, multiple people from different perspectives and different backgrounds all coming in to a strong, unified defense this year.
And going along with Sean Martin on that defensive line, like I said, TJ Jackson, he was one of the highest graded transfers, defensive transfers by PFF. And you got Eddie V, Edward Vesterinen, who should be fun to watch. But a transfer that I also failed to mention was Ty French. You look at his numbers at Gardner-Webb, they are video game numbers. He's going to be playing alongside Tyrone Bradley, who, if you don't remember, he made that one-handed interception at the Duke's Mayo Bowl. It's going to be fun to see West Virginia's pass rush this year.
Yeah, I mean, you can also add to that the young guys, Ben Cutter and Trey Lathan. Lathan was a starting linebacker last season as a redshirt freshman. Obviously had that leg injury against TCU, which then had stepped true freshman Ben Cutter up and had to play the rest of the season alongside Lee Koba. Lee Koba is gone. Now you get both of those young guys at the linebacker position that both have experience. You're not having a guy that come in that really hasn't played much. And like you said, you add Ty Webb to that. Like, or Ty French, excuse me, I'm confused on Gardner Webb. It changes things. Like, this pass rush is going to be crazy. It was already great last season, and now you're adding guys that are pass rushers. Like, and that's what West Virginia really hasn't had over the past couple of years. They've had some good run stoppers. They've had things like that. They got Lee Koba, great tackler, all of that. Now you get guys coming off the edge. You have Anthony Wilson as well, a safety that loves to come fly down and play in the box and load the box up. So, you get a lot of guys on defense now that like to fly around and can do a lot of things, specifically rush the passer. That could be a problem, specifically for Drew Aller, who doesn't always like to get out of the pocket and have to make some plays. You saw him do it last season, but against West Virginia. But other than that, he did struggle at times when defenses had to force him out of the pocket. That could be something that West Virginia tries to expose.
Now, looking a little bit more into the West Virginia Penn State matchup, there's two running back duos. You got Catron Allen and Nick Singleton versus Jaheim White and CJ Donaldson. And looking further into CJ Donaldson and Jaheim White, it is lightning and thunder. Jaheim White, good out in space. He can run, he's shifty. And CJ Donaldson, put it simply, he's a big boy, 240 pounds. He can power it right into the end zone.
No, I mean they are like kind of friends. They come from a similar background as far as like growing up and stuff. And I mean CJ was saying in his pressers during camp that he just loves Jaheim White. He loves being able to kind of have a little bit of a friendly competition with him, but overall mostly just help each other grow and see each other grow and succeed. I think if you have two guys like again, you said lightning and thunder. Two guys who are helping each other in the same ways that lightning and thunder are absolutely necessary for each other. I think that's going to be the same way here. They're going to be able to benefit each other and benefit West Virginia because it's just going to be explosive whenever you don't know which one of those guys is ever going to come off, but both of them have the capabilities of making a name for themselves in each and every game.
Yeah, I think another aspect that people aren't talking about enough in the rushing attack. I mean, they do individually when they talk about him, but that's Garrett Green. Like, I mean, he opens everything else up for Jaheim White and C.J. Donaldson because at any point he can pull it. I mean, I believe Neil Brown said last year that heading into the pick game that about 80% of their plays are RPO. Like 80% of their run plays have some kind of pass option, some kind of pull option for Garrett Green. Like, there's always something that he can do. And that opens everything up for Jaheim White because when you start exposing defenses like that, making them play honest, it opens up holes. It gives them the advantage. They're a step ahead. And we saw it all last season. When you give Jaheim White a step on the defense, like, he is going to make them pay. He's one of the most explosive, most quick running backs in the entire country. So, like, that's huge. And you combine that with C.J. Donaldson that can just wear a defense down. You get down on the goal line, you know he's going to be able to punch it in. Maybe he'll take his helmet off. Hopefully not this year, but you know that, like, that's huge. And then you add Garrett Green's legs to all of that, and you add the speed on the wide receiver. Like, that's what makes the running game so great. Not even to mention the offensive line, is because how many different variables West Virginia can attack you in the rushing game, whether it's sweeps, whether it's read options, whether it's just power football. Behind that offensive line, there's so many different ways that they can attack you, and it keeps defenses honest and keeps them a step behind, and it gives West Virginia the advantage.
Yeah, and these bigger publications that are downing us, not ESPN, not Pat McAfee, they don't realize how versatile our offense is because, like you said, there are so many different options. And it's really exciting to watch. Every time you watch West Virginia football, you can see a different play from a different person every single time.
And the reason I bring this up on Always College Football with Greg McIlroy, he was talking about how West Virginia should follow Michigan's path to success against Penn State as they did last year, which was a heavy rushing attack. So will West Virginia go that option? It's to be determined. It's to play out. But
yeah, I mean, they could, like they could do that, and they probably have a successful season doing that. Do you beat a team like Penn State doing that? Probably not. Do you beat an Oklahoma State doing that? Probably not. Will it keep you in the game? Yeah, but at some point, Garrett Green's going to have to make the explosive plays. He's going to have to attack the middle of the field. He's going to have to complete the short passes on third and short, third and five, third and four, those sorts of things that he struggled with last season. If they want to compete with the big dogs, if they want to be a playoff team and call themselves one of the top 12 teams in the country, they have to be able to do that. Running the ball is great. Running the ball is going to win you a lot of games. It's going to keep you in every game. But you got to have the explosive play. I don't think fans want another season like last year. I mean, not that they're complaining about last season, but the expectation's a little bit higher now. Being a good team is great. It's a great beginning point, but I think West Virginia fans want one step up. They want to be that playoff team. You want to be one of the top teams in the country. And to do that, you have to do more than just run the football. It's a great foundation. It's a great thing that every team needs, and West Virginia is great at it, but they have to have those explosive plays if they want to do something in the postseason.
Yeah, and Garrett Green knows that. I mean, he has not been quiet about the work that he's been putting in. And everybody who's seen him put in that work, whether that be at the Manning Passing Academy, whether that be at fall camp, everyone is saying, hey, he is improving. He is great. He is an amazing quarterback that we trust. So he knows that these are plays that he needs to go for. And neither him, Neil Brown, or anyone involved on the team is trying to move him away from like trying to hide him from certain things. They're going to allow him to improve and make those explosive plays, like you said, because he's only been working harder to be able to improve to those. He doesn't need any cop out or anything like that. He can do it if he keeps working hard, which he has been.
Yeah, I know we got to wrap it up in a couple of minutes, but I just want to add, you know, you talked about that Michigan style last season, and that is a great comparison. That is something that fans should look at and say, okay, West Virginia can do that. But then go back and watch Michigan's playoff games. Things struck. I mean, they ran the ball well, but when they needed a big play, what happened? J.J. McCarthy delivered. Whether it was that flea flicker under pressure where he delivered the ball in a third, like, he made big plays. And you need your quarterback to make big plays down the field. Michigan didn't do it often, but they got in situations, despite their good running game, that kept them in the game, kept them competing with Alabama. They got in those situations, but then when they needed it, they got that big explosive play. And they're going to need West Virginia, that is going to need Garrett Green to make those plays and make the clutch plays, because the running attack is going to be there. The rushing attack is going to be great. Can he do that? That's what it's going to take to get to that playoff level. The rushing attack will make them an 8-win, 9-win team. They want to be a 10-win, 11-win competing in December in the playoffs. Garrett Green's going to have to be the X factor.
West Virginia takes on Penn State at home, expected to be a sellout crowd. And that's going to do it for us today on the Blue Gold Sports Podcast. For Tanner Mounts, Corey Moore, I'm Ryan Roddy. Thanks for tuning in.